Beloved radio friends, we greet you in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the beloved Savior who is coming very soon. Yes, even perhaps today. We rejoice in the privilege of continuing the ministry on that great subject, the theme of our Savior's return. We do pray that our listeners will be awakened to the fact and the solemn reality the Lord Jesus is coming again. His own promise will be fulfilled when he declared, "I will come again." And to his own dear disciples he said, "And will receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." 'Tis our deep and earnest prayer our listeners may all know the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, born again by the Holy Spirit, and looking forward to the blessed return of our Lord. Today we will consider another question relative to that great theme, and consider carefully a reference to that coming of the Savior in this respect. Will the coming of the Lord be post-millennial, or will it be pre-millennial? By this we mean, will the Lord come after a millennial kingdom has transpired upon the earth? Or will he come before that millennial kingdom begins? Now let us first of all consider the term and the meaning of it, millennium. The expression comes from the Latin language and means 1,000 years. Now the word itself is not found in Holy Scripture, but there is an expression, 1,000 years, which occurs 6 times in the book of the Revelation, verses 2 through 7. And as far as the Old Testament is concerned, we do have abundant evidence that there will be a future kingdom established according to the prophetic writings revealing it. But the book of the Revelation is perhaps the only place in chapter 20 that tells the duration of that kingdom, 1,000 years. Now regarding the question, there are those who believe that Christ will return before the millennium. They are known as premillenarians or premillennialists. Yet on the other hand, there are some who believe Christ will not return visibly and personally until after the millennium, and they are called post-millennialists. Now let us consider, most important first of all, the position of the early church, as we may look at it from the Word of God. And we conclude, as we introduce this, that the early church was premillennial. This can only be concluded from the writings of the apostles, particularly. Now by way of example, take the Apostle Paul. When the Apostle Paul wrote concerning the return of the Lord Jesus, he sometimes associated himself with those who looked forward to the resurrection from the dead. Then on the other hand, he sometimes associated himself with those who were looking forward to being alive at the coming again of the Lord, expecting the change of his mortal body. Let me point out some scripture reference. First of all, in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 14, the apostle writes to say, "Knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you." Now in this verse of scripture, he speaks very definitely of anticipating the resurrection from among the dead. But now we go to another scripture, written by Paul, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 51 and on, where he writes, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep," meaning in death, "but we shall all be changed," and so on. Now in this scripture he places himself as anticipating being alive when the Lord Jesus comes. He does this very same thing in 1 Thessalonians, where we have the description of the manner in which the Lord will complete the rapture of the saints. And likewise in Philippians chapter 3, and we quote from verse 20 particularly, where Paul writes to say, our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our body of humiliation, and so on. We can thus recognize that very realistically, the beloved Apostle Paul associated himself with the probability or the possibility of being resurrected out of the grave. But he also associated himself with the teaching that he could be alive when the Lord comes and be thus changed in that moment in the twinkling of an eye. Now, from Paul's history alone, and then we could quote other scriptures from other writers, but from Paul's history alone, we can recognize that even in his advanced years, when threatening dangers brought him the increasing possibility that he might die before the Savior came, yet it did not prevent him saying that he was expecting from heaven his Savior to come and change his body. So from Paul's example, which we have described, we find the characteristic attitude that should be the same for all believers toward the doctrine of the coming of the Lord. From the teaching of all the apostles, we can certainly emphasize that the early Christians, they looked for the return of the Lord, expecting it would precede the establishing of his earthly kingdom. But further still, may I also state, further than the early church, as recorded in the scriptures, even up to the 3rd century of Christianity, from the teaching of church fathers, it can be confirmed, and I do it by a quotation from one of the saints called Papias, who died in A.D. 165, and his words have been preserved for us, who said, and I quote, there will be a millennium after the resurrection of the dead, when the personal reign of Christ will be established upon this earth, unquote. There was another convert of the Apostle John by the name of Polycarp, a wonderful saint of history in those early days of the church. He speaks the same truth, and we would conclude in very brief summary, necessarily, that the position of the early church, both in the Word of God, as well as in the history that followed the apostolic age in the days of the church, the premillennial belief of the Lord's return was their blessed joy. Now let's consider the other side, the postmillennial, which sometimes today can be and often is called the amillennial, that denies the return of the Lord will precede his earthly kingdom. Very briefly, it is from the book of the Revelation, and particularly from chapter 20, they spiritualize and base their teaching that from that 20th of Revelation, the 1,000 years spoken of as a millennium, those 1,000 years are existing during the age of the church. By so doing, they deny the literal kingdom upon the earth, which God has promised to Israel, and deny the earthly reign of the Lord in a kingdom upon the earth through his people, Israel. Now may I state for brevity's sake that it was not until the 3rd century approximately of the church's history, certain scholars, I name three of them, by the name of Origen, Jerome, and Augustine, who systematized the theory, they began to dispute the literal interpretation of the book of the Revelation. And all because they did not deny the inspiration of that book, but they disputed the literal interpretation of it, because they were unwilling to accept the doctrine of a future reign of our Lord upon the earth, and that he would come preceding that future reign. And thus for centuries, may I state, the blessed hope of our Lord's return was not merely denied, but neglected, until by God's grace, The doctrine of our Lord's return was revived by the Holy Spirit in the past century and on. But let me please explain. One notable and noticeable mistake made by those who apply the millennium to the church age in their ultra-spiritualizing of Revelation 20 verses 1 through 6. They take the statement that Satan, and it is recorded in that scripture, will be bound in the bottomless pit for 1,000 years. There you've got the length of the millennial kingdom. There you've got the length of the millennial time they believe is represented by this scripture in Revelation 20, as they spiritualize it. And they also would confirm that right now, during the Christian age, Satan is bound. They have to do that, and they do it. That Satan is bound in the bottomless pit for 1,000 years. Now, let me ask you a question, my friend. I hope you've got the baptism of common sense. Has Satan really been bound for 1,000 years and unable to do any of his work upon the earth? Do you really think that is so? Please let me quote the words of a Christian friend of mine in speaking of this particular fact or subject, saying, if the devil is bound, then he certainly must have a very long chain. My beloved, there is no question of doubt that the devil is a very free person, and all of his hosts of evil with him. But it will not be until the Lord comes to the earth that he will actually be bound and in that bottomless pit while the Lord Jesus Christ reigns on and over the earth. Oh, my beloved, may you and I prove for the word of God, for our blessing, the truth and the teaching of the premillennial return of our Lord Jesus Christ. And can we but only say that any other teaching is absolutely preposterous. Oh, my beloved friend, we raise this question, as we have done before. Are you saved? Are you ready for the Lord to come? Oh, God grant, my fellow believer, that you and I are looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, in our Savior's name. Father, sanctify, bless, prosper, and illuminate thy people and unsaved ones with thy precious word, even for thy glory in Jesus' name. Amen.